You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1455.
Take a look at your balance sheet. I think this is a really good exercise for all of your listeners. You know, write down all of your cash balances, all of your bank accounts, any investments you own, and then look at all those investments and say, does this provide me with cash flow? Does it provide me with growth? Does it provide me with tax benefits? And does that align to what my ultimate goal is?
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Hey, welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. I'm your host today, Brent Bowers. And today I have my buddy Craig Fieldmeyer on. He is part of the Money Ripples team, and they have been such a blessing working with these guys. You know, I work with a lot of Money Ripples clients, and what we do is we buy land deals together. So they are my lenders on my land deals. So today we got a little bit of a different episode. We're going to talk about some of the things that Craig is recommending for, you know, wealth preservation, wealth building, and just what he recommends as far as, you know, today, how to start building wealth, how to start building cash flow, how to get that freedom number, financial freedom, and just a few other things. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Let's get right into it. Craig Fieldmeyer, welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. How are you doing today, man?
Brent, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
I'm super stoked to have you, super stoked to hear what's working right now for your clients. You know, you've helped me out over the years, you know, providing like a CPA that's helped me save me a tremendous amount of money on my taxes. I've worked with multiple of your clients now, several of them, nice Rolodex of just people that I'm doing land deals with. Like, they are my lenders. They're earning a pretty good return on investment. It's helped me buy the land. So I'm just happy to have you, but share to the Rhino Nation, to the Wholesaling Inc. audience, like kind of a little bit about yourself, what you're up to.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. And thanks again for working with our clients. They love working with you and your team, and they love land. So I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I myself, I spent about 10 years working on Wall Street. So right out of college, had those big city dreams, moved to New York, got a job at an investment bank, and worked on the private side, working with ultra high net worth people. So 25 million net worth and up, helping them build and design portfolios. Absolutely loved it when I was there, you know, learned work ethic, learned investments, you know, acumen, and really enjoyed working with clients at that level of wealth. But I kind of had a light bulb moment there a couple years into my role, thinking, you know, we're helping these people design portfolios that are really kind of wealth preservation, earn a few percentage points every month in return. Talk about legacy planning with those people. And I said, if they're able to retire on this amount of money, is that going to work for me, you know, if I have a couple million dollars in my 401k when I'm 65, right? That's the goal. You know, are there going to be big market downturns? You know, I started right when the financial crisis was kind of happening. So saw the effects of, you know, kind of that black swan event and how that affected people's portfolios, retirement dates. So really kind of had that in the back of my mind, you know, while I'm investing and saving. And, you know, I say probably right around 2015, 2016, right when kind of the podcast craze was starting to take off, I really started getting into real estate, right? Because I'm thinking, okay, I've got this, you know, pool of capital I've been saving, but I don't want to sell out of my 401k, right? It's kind of trapped in that 401k jail. Can't touch it till you're 59 and a half.
Two things that doesn't sound too good. Trap and jail.
Right? So you gotta pay the taxes, pay the penalties if you want to take it out. And so I'm thinking, you know, maybe I want to get into real estate, right? I want that cash flow that real estate provides, you know, because cash flow equals freedom. I work for a company called Money Ripples. That's one of our mottos. And so I kind of jumped in with 2 feet, you know, thinking, oh, I live in Manhattan. What a great place to buy a rental property in New York City, right? Tons of demand. You know, I found a realtor, did some New York City tours, quickly realized that New York was not a great place for a first-time investor, right? Crazy taxes. Basically, every single place has an HOA, not a landlord-friendly state. So I knew I needed some help. And I actually, you know, through a podcast, found, you know, my now colleague and mentor, Chris Miles. And he really helped educate me on, you know, the powers of real estate, alternative asset investing, and cash flow.
Yeah, no, that's exciting. So, you know, you mentioned a couple things. Like, one thing I wanted to ask was, you know, how was that talking to people like with net worths of over $25 million. Like, did you grow up in a wealthy family, or was it like, I mean, because I kind of grew up in a very modest, you know, that would have been intimidating talking to people fresh out of college that had net worths of over $25 million.
It is. It is intimidating. It was in the beginning. I grew up very middle class, went to public school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And you really kind of, you come up the curve pretty quickly. I'd say the biggest thing that you have to take note of, Brent, is, you know, you're working with these wealthy families. They have big family trees, right? You might have 50 accounts, right, with one family. And it's really important to keep people's privacy in line, right? Because person A might have a different trust than person B, but they might come from the same family. So that aspect is really, really important to learn, not to share family secrets across different family members. But it really gives you a good sense of how to develop polish in the workplace, right? Being very professional and being very responsive. So on our desk, a part of, you know, working with an ultra high net worth firm is if somebody calls us, that phone will never go to voicemail, right? So somebody on my team will pick up that phone call. Even if you're on another call, you might put somebody on hold, say, hey, I'll get back to you. I'll call you in 20 minutes. So learning that type of professionalism, the soft skills, really, really has carried me a long way in my career. And then obviously, you know, learning from other team members, other mentors about how to build, you know, a portfolio to sustain different market cycles, yeah. Build up for tax efficiency, for legacy planning, was just great technical knowledge to have.
Yeah, no, that's the same thing. I mean, just answering that phone, it goes the same with being a land buyer when that land seller calls, or a house buyer when that house seller calls. You know, you never know when that $1 million deal is calling it, and you've got to take that call, or that seller that you've been working with that needs that extra communication. You've got to provide those customer skills. I mean, let's talk about what's working today for some of your clients. Like, how are you, you know, building their portfolios, their, you know, increasing their wealth? And also, I want to kind of lead that into like, okay, here's a person who you're working with. Like, how do we get started? How does someone get started? Even if they're kind of just getting started in real estate business, or maybe they've done a few deals, like how can we help those guys as well?
It's a great question. And it's going to be so specific to the individual investor. I always say personal finance is just that. It's very personal and specific to you as an individual. So if you're young and you're just starting to build your net worth, build your portfolio, I'd say focusing on single family homes is a really good place to start building your cash flow. When you think about alternative asset investing, you know, getting into cash flow, I'd say, you know, one of the first questions I ask my clients is, what is your financial freedom number? And that has different meanings to different people. What I like to do is say, let's just total up your monthly expenses, right? I call those your fixed costs, your mortgage, your cell phone, your car payments. Let's add up what you have to pay every single month. And when you can hit a cash flow number that equals, you know, your total monthly fixed costs, you basically hit level one of financial freedom, right? You could, you know, pretty much stop working today and, you know, you might be eating rice and beans, but at least, you know, if you hated your boss or something happened, you could at least cover those fixed costs. So that's pretty much what I focus on and say, okay, based off of your income and the assets you have, how do we get there? And so if you're, you know, a newer person just starting to build your net worth, I like single family home real estate investing. Now I actually think is not, you know, it's, we're contrarians at Money Ripples, right? And so, you know, interest rates are high. Everyone's saying, you know, it's not a great time to buy real estate. I disagree. I think you have to find the right deal, right? You need to do a lot of due diligence. There's areas in the Midwest, think areas like Kansas City, Oklahoma City, St. Louis, Indianapolis. These areas can still cash flow. Real estate is still priced reasonably and rents are high enough where you can get that good spread between your expenses and your rental income. So I'd say find a good realtor in one of those cities, fly out and see the property, and then put pen to paper, right? Look at the pro forma numbers, figure out what the taxes are going to be, figure out, you know, if you need a property manager, what that's going to look like. For an investment property, you're going to need 20 to 25% down. So budget accordingly, you know, have some money set aside for reserves and for repairs. But I think that's a great way to get started. It's pretty simple to find one tenant, to deal with one tenant. You know, if you buy the right house and you do a good inspection, you're not going to run into big CapEx, you know, especially in the beginning. So it's a good way to get your feet wet to see if you want to be a real estate investor. And then I say, as you scale from there, that's when you can get into more passive type deals, whether it's through funds, syndications, lending, working with you and your team on land deals. For most of those deals, you're going to need to be what's called an accredited investor. That means you have an income of $200,000 or a net worth of $1 million, excluding your primary residence. So once you kind of hit that level of wealth,
or
your investment opportunities.
Syndication.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Right. There's a lot of ways to be creative in these deals.
Yeah, no, that's funny. When I did my first syndication deal, that automatically gave me the distinguisher of an accredited investor. The first syndication deal I did, I was like, oh, that's cool. So,
right?
Yeah,
who
so 200,000.
How easy it was.
Yeah, who knew? You just got to be able to write the $13,000 check and pay the attorney and set up the syndication.
Exactly, right?
or the syndication deal. Well, okay, so they can lend, they can buy real estate, you know. Is that what Money Ripples teaches? Like, what's your number one thing you guys do down there at Money Ripples?
Yeah, I'd say most clients are interested, or they come to us because they want to generate cash flow, right? And so, you know, we have a group of what we call our trusted advisors. So we have about 30 advisors that we'll connect people to. So what I do is I spend a lot of time on education and then helping people build a roadmap, right? So I'll do some financial modeling, say, okay, you have, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars based off of, you know, these projected returns of some of these potential opportunities. This is how long it's going to take for you to reach your financial freedom goals, right? Obviously, you know, all investments have risk. So what I do is educate people on what those risks are, really how to think through, is this the right investment for you? Do you want something that's more growth focused, more cash flow focused? Take a look at your balance sheet. I think this is a really good exercise for all of your listeners. You know, write down all of your cash balances, all of your bank accounts, any investments you own, and then look at all those investments and say, does this provide me with cash flow? Does it provide me with growth? Does it provide me with tax benefits? And does that align to what my ultimate goal is, right? So if my number one goal, like we have some clients, Brent, that say, I need to make $5,000 a month by the end of the year. That's my number one goal. So when I work with them, we'll focus on a lot of debt funds, right? Funds are going to pay 8, 10, 12% a month in cash flow. Now, because you get that good cash yield, your money may not grow, right? So when the fund unwinds in 3 years and you give somebody $100,000 while you've been getting paid every month, you know, they're going to give you your $100,000 back, right? So that, and that's going to be worth less than it is today because of inflation. So we really have to think about those things. So if you're 25, 30 years old, you have a job that you like, I may not necessarily say, you know, we could invest in this fund, which is going to pay you, but maybe we go more on the growth side. Let's continue to grow your principal. And then as you, you know, maybe you want to transition out of your current job, you know, you're thinking about maybe taking a break, then we can focus more on some assets that are going to cash flow, right? And then step number two is you need to understand the investments. You need to understand the risk. You need to understand the return, because every investment has risk. It's kind of finance 101, right? Risk and return. And if you can't tell your spouse or your best friend about what the risks are with an investment, you need to do more research.
What if you're afraid to tell your spouse? Yourself. What if you're afraid to
don't
tell your
do
spouse?
It? Have was your spouse to win the call, right?
Yeah. That's so funny that you, that's so true, because there was a deal and I was like, I don't know if I want to tell Emily about this. And when that thought ran through my mind, like that was my immediate, you shouldn't do this. I'm not even going to tell her about it. I'm not even going to do it type thing.
Don't even go there. Yeah. If you're listening to this and if you have a spouse, don't keep secrets, especially financial secrets, right? Yeah. Be transparent and open.
Yeah.
That's the way
to go. Absolutely. No. And I just wanted to bring that up. Sometimes we gotta talk about those things we're not proud of in life. You know, it's like, long story short, there was a deal. It was 2009. Gotta be careful what I say here, because the FBI got involved in this. So I could have bought a bunch of condo conversions in a small area of Florida, really close to Disney World. And I could have got these things for around $30,000 a piece. It would have been a great investment. But the thing was, I didn't have $30,000 a piece back then. And I could have bought like literally, I mean, up to 100 of them. And I was playing it small. I was like thinking, okay, I'll buy a few of them. And my buddy that was setting me up with it, he was a licensed realtor, licensed mortgage broker. He would take Adobe Pro and basically give yourself bank statements. He would create bank statements and would get these loans just approved. Well, that was one of those things where it's like, you know, I don't know if I want to tell my wife about this. And I went home and I was like, are you an idiot? Like thinking to myself on the way, I had a long drive. And the good thing about long drives, a lot of people work from home now. We don't get those long drives anymore to think about these things. So I was like, are you an idiot? Like, that's fraud. That's totally mortgage fraud. And you're going to do that? Because I wanted to be a real estate investor so bad. I only had one property back then. And I was thinking creative, but that would have blown up in my face big time. So it's sometimes the things we don't do that saves us.
Yeah.
A couple years later, the FBI came in that office and found this guy doing those deals. I don't know whatever happened. I haven't talked to him since. But yeah, like one of those bullets we've dodged. And we've probably all, I don't know if anybody else has had that sort of thing happen in their life. I could have gotten all these units for nothing. But that's mortgage fraud. And they put people in jail for that.
It's a great point because across, you know, pretty much every investor's life, they're going to have opportunities come across their desk that might be, you know, have some shadiness to them from a deal perspective. If it doesn't sit well with you, pass on the deal, right? You know, I'd say when it comes to your portfolio, the number one criteria is you want to sleep well at night, right?
That's
so you want to have, you know, a good portfolio asset allocation. You never want to be too over allocated to one asset. You know, now everyone has Bitcoin FOMO. You know, make sure even if you are a Bitcoin investor, you don't have too much of your portfolio in that asset class because we just never know what's going to happen. It's pulling back today too. So, and when it comes to doing anything illegal, never change documents. You know, it's funny you brought that up 2009 because that was kind of right around the post-financial crash. But back then, it was so easy to get a mortgage. If your listeners haven't seen the movie The Big Short, watch it because it's what really happened. People buying 3, 4, 5 properties, they were just going up in value, fixing and flipping them. No mortgage verifications, and it was a house of cards, right? So, I mean, now if you try to get a mortgage, especially on an investment property, gosh, they want, you know, a sample of your DNA, it sounds like, in order to get approved. But yeah, follow the book. That's definitely the best way to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Craig, what's one of the safest investments you're seeing out there right now? Or maybe a couple of them. Like, what advice would you give for that?
You know, I really like physical real estate, especially as a first investment. And I'll tell you why, from a safety perspective. As long as the deal pencils on paper, and what I mean by that is you have a decent spread between your rental income and all your expenses, real estate has insurance on your property, right? So that means, you know, if you buy a duplex in Oklahoma City and a tornado comes by and blows away your duplex, the insurance company is going to write you a check for the value of that property, right? So a lot of people have been getting burned in the last couple of years on multifamily syndications. It was a really, really popular investment, probably 2018 forward. And what a lot of syndicators didn't understand was these variable rate bridge loans that a lot of them took out. And now they're under a lot of pressure, right? Because the Fed really raised rates over the past 2 years. And so when a lot of these variable notes are coming due, when they refi, their expenses are a lot higher than they had originally planned, right? And so a lot of principal investment is at risk. So whenever you do an investment, talk to the operator about what is the likelihood that I lose my principal, right? Because whenever you wire money to a fund, wire money for a land deal, or you wire money to a title company to buy an investment property, you want to know how safe is my principal, because your principal is your cash flow engine, right? So when you sell the property, when you get out of the syndication, you want that principal balance back at a minimum. So I think with real estate, it is very safe as long as you can service the mortgage, right? So have your emergency fund, make sure you're not buying too much property. It's a really, really safe investment and a great way to get involved in alternative asset investing. I would also say investments in land are really pretty safe as well, especially if you do, you know, kind of a structured note type of deal where you do seller financing. If you own land and, you know, flip it, sell it for a premium, if your buyer, you know, stops making those payments, then you take back the land and you can resell it to somebody else. So I like things that have physical, tangible value with a lot of principal protection.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, some of the clients that I've worked with, the Money Ripples clients, as well as just friends and family and neighbors, you know, most of the time, the land deal that I'm buying, we're paying less than 60 cents on the dollar. So if it's worth $100,000, we're not paying more than $60,000 usually for the land deal. So that's a pretty safe position, I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, Craig, for most lenders. You know, a lot can go wrong. I mean, even if we had another 2007, 8, 9 type thing, or 2008, we'll just call it 2008, these, like a parcel of land that's worth $100,000 today probably won't be worth $50,000 tomorrow. It could come down 10, 20% really easily, but usually we don't have that drastic of, you know, downturns.
Yeah, you're right. And as long as the deal cash flows every month, you know, we play the long-term game, right? So, you know, real estate's going to rise and fall, land is going to rise and fall. You know, we're bullish in nature in terms of, you know, over a 10, 20 year period. I think real estate's going to continue to go up. I think land, you know, it's a scarce asset. I think it's going to continue to improve. But as long as you're cash flow positive every month on your deals, you know, that's where you want to be.
Well, Craig, yeah, thanks for jumping on today and sharing your wisdom. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Money Ripples?
Yeah, reach out to me over email. Craig@moneyripples.com is the best way to get a hold of me if you want to find out more about our program. We also have a robust infinite banking program that we can educate clients on. And thank you to you, Brent, for serving our clients, you know, with so much integrity and good investment performance. You know, we're really blessed to have you as part of the Money Ripples family.
I love it, man. I love it. It's been a blast. It's allowed me to do some land deals that, you know, I probably could have done them with hard money lenders or my own cash, but it's way easier to, you know, I implemented profit first. It's way easier to keep filling your bank accounts and using other people's money and sharing in these profits, because you mentioned it. It's what allows me to sleep better at night. Yep. As long as my bank accounts are growing and I'm doing deals, we're making profit, other people are making profit. It's been a blast. It's been a good time. So great addition to my business as well. Rhino Nation, I hope you got some great advice from this podcast. Keep taking action. Go to wholesalinginc.com/land and schedule that call today if you want to start building the steps of earning passive income, active income, to start, you know, doing these things that Craig was talking about, to start, you know, start preparing for your retirement. You know, time is one thing that we're guaranteed is going to keep flying by. And yeah, take action while you can. God bless, guys. Talk to you later.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.